Travel demand drops. The SEC considers a challenge against payment for order flow. Is Affirm a buy? And Goldman Sachs makes a big call on metals. This is the Running with the Money podcast. Let's get into it. We are back on a beautiful Wednesday afternoon. The markets were cranking higher midday, but then falling off here at the end. The Dow Jones finishing down 48 points. S&P 500 edging out a 0.03% gain. And the NASDAQ up 50 points. Now taking a look over at bond yields, treasury yields. We have the U.S. 10-year treasury yield moving down under 1.3%. Once again, currently sitting at 1.299%. So that's definitely something to pay attention to. That came out as we got some disappointing private sector jobs numbers, but we aren't going to focus on those today. We have some bigger headlines to get into. So getting into one of the biggest headlines of the day, that's these TSA screenings and travel numbers. So air travel, it does typically fall at the end of the summer because schools are reopening. People are going back into work mode. They're done vacationing for quite a little bit, and everyone's going back to school. Well, you have COVID-19 cases on the rise and COVID-19 fears. Also adding to that, as you know, just a few weeks ago, we talked about airline executives from Frontier, Southwest, American, and Spirit Airlines all warning that they'd miss revenue and profit forecast because of weaker bookings, mostly due to this Delta variant of the coronavirus. And now you take a look and according to CNBC, on quote, for fares purchased 21 days in advance, average one-way domestic fares were down as much as 30.6% on the week to $51 and $183 for Spirit and JetBlue, respectively. We also saw Americans' average domestic one-way fares fall 23% to $158 per share. Taking a look at the airlines today, you saw a lot of those names pretty much on a performance basis all move to the downside by at least 0.10%. So not much. American Airlines leading the way down 1.5%. American, Alaska, Southwest, Delta, United Air, and Spirit all moving to the downside over the past 6 months. A lot of these names have been doing that same exact thing, moving to the downside. I take a look at American Airlines. I see that American Airlines is down in the past 3 months 23%. Alaska Airlines in the past 3 months down 15%. Southwest Airlines in the past 3 months down 18%, and you're continuing to see these airline names decline, mostly as you see travel metrics also decline in the United States. And this comes on the back of this COVID-19 Delta variant. So if I were to guess, if I were to make a 6 to 12 month outlook here, as the Delta fears die down, you'll likely see some of these travel names likely get a boost. You can also look to some of the casino names, such as Wynn Resorts, which is down big time over the last few months as well. That might be a solid one to take a look at if you're looking for a travel rebound and a travel trade. Down 25% in 3 months. That's, you know, another solid casino name that I think you could also check out. But that is just off of the top of the head, listing a few names that are going to be moving to the downside on these negative airline travel metrics, mostly due to this COVID-19 Delta variant. But the second largest headline out of the market, and I would say the past 48 hours, is this SEC headline. So the Securities and Exchange Commission is considering getting rid of payment for order flow here in the United States. Now, if you do not know what payment for order flow is, we're going to go through that real quick before we get into what the SEC is considering. So payment for order flow is when a stockbroker sells the privilege of fulfilling a retail order to market makers in return for a share of profit. Now, this is a big time conflict of interest, and the SEC agrees. You take a look at what payment for order flow looks like around the world and other markets in the UK, Australia, and Canada have all banned the practice. But this is a big time negative here for a name that has been moving significantly to the upside since IPO, and that name is Robinhood, ticker symbol HOOD, otherwise known as Hood. And the stock actually was moving to the downside on this SEC news. So what did the SEC decide? Well, the Securities and Exchange Commission's chairman, Gary Gensler, talked about and said that banning payment for order flows on the table just a few days ago. He did an interview with Barron's, and he also said it is, quote, an inherent conflict of interest. interest, and that payment for order flow is going to be looked at and possibly banned by the SEC. Robinhood, since IPO, it spiked all the way up over just over $70 per share, and now it's all the way back down to $44 per share. In the last 5 days, it's down 9%, and a lot of that downside coming on the heels of this rumor or this note out of the SEC that they're considering a ban on payment for order flow. Now, why does that affect Robinhood so much? Well, payment for order flow is one of the main revenue drivers of Robinhood. That's where they make a lot of their money. You also have Charles Schwab is another one that makes quite a bit off payment for order flow. So that's something to pay attention to when it comes to these brokers. There is definitely a conflict of interest, something that needs to be looked into. But in the meantime, we are going to be watching this SEC challenge here. Now, JP Morgan, shifting into the biggest analyst calls, thinks that the SEC isn't going to get to it. So JPM today, or JMP, not JPM, JP Morgan today reiterated Robinhood as market outperforms. So that's a pretty bullish call out of JP Morgan on Robinhood. They said, quote, "We think this SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission, like others before it, is quite focused on transparency and investor protection, but we also believe investors have a big benefit have been big beneficiaries of the current business model. Payment for order flow has been overseen and regulated by the SEC for decades, even though it is often presented as some business happening in shadows where retail investors are being taken advantage of." So JP Morgan here saying they don't think that the SEC is actually going to take any action against payment for order flow. They like Robinhood for the long term, and they, you know, go look at the past and say, look, it's been overseen and this has been a common practice in the United States for years, if not decades, and it is completely okay. And there's never been any issue with it until the media started picking up on it, which kind of makes sense here. So really, this probably is all just a bunch of talk out of the SEC, according to JP Morgan. It will be interesting to see if that is true. In the meantime, we will be watching to see what happens over at the SEC with payment for order flow. Now, shifting into a call by Bernstein reiterating Amazon as outperform. Now, before I get into this note and start talking about all the positives of Amazon, I'd like to note that Amazon, as of just a few weeks ago, is the largest position in amongst all of my holdings. It's my number one position. I hold an immense amount of it. It makes up, I believe last I checked in one of my long portfolios, a 25% position. So yes, I hold a lot of Amazon. It's one of my core holdings, and that is the disclosure. Now, what did Bernstein say on this outperform rating on Amazon? They said, quote, "Amazon advertising was once again impressively strong, growing 90% year over year, bolstered by strong e-commerce traffic over the last 12 months. However, overall performance margin revenue guide were relatively weak, leading us to pull back our estimates on non-ad related. We remain positive on Amazon, especially as its ad business should provide a rising floor to earnings growth." I agree with this call. They noted some slowdown in guidance. Now, I take a look at the most recent quarter out of Amazon, and we talked about it a few episodes ago, and we said that that was a pretty darn strong quarter that Amazon turned out. But why did the stock react so negatively to it? Well, most of the negative reaction was due to the fact that they were comparing it to a previous quarter in which we were going throughout COVID-19, and Amazon was seeing an acceleration in growth that it had not seen in a very, very long time, because everyone was staying inside and Amazon was being used even more. So Amazon is now reverting back into that consistent double-digit growth that we were seeing. It's just not massive like we were seeing throughout the COVID-19 pandemic lockdown quarters. So that's something to pay attention to. The comparison was difficult, but the numbers were rock solid, in my opinion. Now shifting into another name that actually just delivered earnings, that's CrowdStrike. And that name went down originally on pretty darn solid numbers. So you take a look at CrowdStrike today, and that stock actually down 3.93% at the close, down after hours here as well. But Jefferies seeing it as a top pick, saying, quote, "CrowdStrike reported a revenue beat 4.5% versus 4% in F1Q, so forward Q1, and 6-9% for full year 2021 and a raise. Regardless, these results are evidence of how impressive this story is, and we don't see the cyber tailwind slowing down. Now, I 100% agree with this call. Cybersecurity is going to be an industry that grows immensely in the future. We're doing this digital shift. We're shifting into the digital world where literally everything is going digital. And if everything's going digital, people are going to want security in the digital world, people, and therefore they're going to go to fantastic cybersecurity companies such as CrowdStrike. CrowdStrike is a leader in the space, a fantastic company to check out. I think we've done 3 or 4 breakdowns on CrowdStrike in the last few months. So go check out CRWD. That's the ticker symbol. CrowdStrike. Go to runningwiththemoney.com. Look up CrowdStrike and you will find, I believe, 3 or 4 breakdowns on the name over the past few months. They all get better with age. So definitely go take a look at those on runningwiththemoney.com. Do the research on CrowdStrike. Fantastic company. And it's definitely a name to pay attention to. And they're growing pretty darn quickly. Now, Rosenblatt downgraded Facebook to neutral, to neutral from buy. Now, why did this downgrade come about? Well, we're going to talk about that here in a minute, but as you all know, Facebook is one of those FANG stocks. It's one of those names that really doesn't often see a lot of downgrades. I think Facebook's a fantastic company. They're still the clear leader in social media. But Rosenblatt saying, quote, "And while Facebook was already seeing competitive ROAS, return on advertising spend, from CTV platforms, it faces more meaningful 21-22 digital ad share competition from Apple, Roku, Avid ad-supported devices, and Amazon." Now, this is something to note here, and they're making a good point. The competition is heating up when it comes to digital advertising. Apple is attempting to get into this market pretty strong. You see Roku getting into this market, Amazon really pushing the boundaries into this market. So a lot of the other major U.S. technology companies are jumping in on this ad tech space, in this digital advertising world. And I definitely think it's going to be tougher for Facebook to compete, but I think Facebook outperforms because at the end of the day, it's what they specialize in. It's what they know. They know it through and through. And the company, well, they continue to turn out consistent double-digit growth. So I'm confident in Facebook. Definitely, you know, neutral's not terrible. I prefer it at a buy. Facebook over the past few months has been moving even higher. You take a look at the stock, it's currently sitting at $382 a share, made a new 52-week high today, even though it was downgraded here by Rosenblatt. I think it continues to move higher. It's one of those names, and this is why it's a FANG name, that consistently turns out growth and is the old reliable. Now, shifting over to a final call by Wolf, upgrading Apple to peer perform from underperform. I can't believe they had it at underperform. They said, quote, "We believe healthy U.S. operator promos and Hawaii share gains drove strong iPhone 12 demand. Both should continue with the iPhone 13. Apple's strong supply chain and elevated ASPs, average selling price, should add tailwinds." So this upgrade really coming off the back of just iPhone demand. Simply, the iPhone has outperformed this year in the past few quarters, as a lot of Apple analysts predicted, and I predicted as well. I said, new iPhone's coming out, Apple stock's going to move higher. This one's going to be a sheer fire buy. Why is Apple going to do well with the latest iPhone or the iPhone 12 when they released it? Because of the 5G boom. Everyone wants a 5G phone. iPhone 12 came out, offers 5G. There you go. Boom. And everyone's buying it like hotcakes. I believe the iPhone 13 is going to be literally probably the same exact reaction. And Apple, they continue to turn out record numbers. They're continue to turn out consistent growth. The management team is very reliable. That's why it's, you know, up there in the top 5 positions amongst all of my portfolios. Now, shifting into this big call by Goldman Sachs, making this big call on metals. What's going on with metals? Well, I'm no metals expert, but this was a big call out of Goldman Sachs. And they're saying that the metals market and parts of the commodity market are lining up to be very good for bullish investors here over the next few months. Now, Goldman Sachs said the foundation is being laid for a booming rally in metals. Unquote. "From Fed tapering to China's COVID cases, these macro risks have led to what we see as an increasingly mispriced metals market. A market with cleaner positioning, tighter fundamentals, and greater upside than we have seen in the start of this year." Goldman went on to say, and this is Goldman's Nicholas Snowden. He's he's an analyst over at Goldman. He went on to say, while these macro risks are real, history has shown that commodities, metals in particular, outperformed during Fed rate hikes and remain relatively immune to COVID risk. They also possess growing structural drivers to the current bull market. Now, Goldman predicting here that names such as in the next 12 months, they see a 24% return on the S&P GSCI Industrial Metals Index. So that's something to pay attention to there. What are a few names you can catch this supposed rally in metals on? You can take a look at DBB. That's the Invesco DB Base Metals Fund, or JJC, or RJZ, or GSG, which is the iShares S&P 500 GSCI Commodity Index Trust. Those are all ETFs that you can check out to catch a rally here in metals. But Goldman really predicting here that there will be rate hikes to deal with inflation out of the Fed. And history has told us that these commodities, especially metals, tend to do quite well when rate hikes begin to handle inflation. So that's just a quick note, something to pay attention to out of Goldman Sachs. Now, Goldman, at the end of this note, said, we expect this fundamental tightening environment to act as a clear catalyst for higher prices, particularly as both macro uncertainty over Fed tapering and China's Delta outbreak fade. I like this call. I think they're correct, and I will be paying attention to the metals market over the next few months. Now, shifting into our final topic of the episode, and that is going to be Affirm. Now, Affirm has been moving to the upside, or it did move to the upside significantly at the beginning of the week. We talked about it on Monday, this deal with Amazon to become their buy now, pay later platform. And the stock is currently sitting at $96 a share. Now, in the past week, it's up 32%. In the past 3 months, 47%. And in the past month, 71%. Crazy numbers there. But we're going to dig into Affirm and what the company is all about. Now, Affirm, ticker symbol AFRM, is a leading digital commerce platform that allows customers to purchase a product and make payments over time, a trend that has been nicknamed the Buy Now, Pay Later, or BNPL trend by the financial world. Now, Affirm's platform continues to grow in popularity, and its integration is seen in a vast array of companies, including Walmart, Peloton, Expedia, Adidas, Shopify, and now Amazon, which is huge for the company. Furthermore, Affirm's management team is made up of leaders boasting experience from the likes of Toyota, Lending Club, PayPal, Venmo, Amazon, Braintree, GE Capital, Merrill Lynch, Morgan Stanley, and so many more. A lot of wisdom in that management team, but the person leading that management team is Max Levchin, the CEO and founder of Affirm. Now, Levchin has been an icon of the commerce and digital payment space after co-founding PayPal in 1998 and working as CTO of PayPal up until his departure in 2002. So a lot of experience out of this management team in the payment space, especially the digital commerce space, which you want with a company like Affirm. Now, in recent news, Affirm announced a major partnership with Amazon, which we talked about on Monday, that will allow approved Amazon customers to split the entire cost of their purchase into monthly payments if the total cost is $50 through Affirm. Affirm's management team was upbeat about the partnership, saying, quote, by partnering with Amazon, we're bringing the transparency, predictability, and affordability that Affirm provides today to the millions of people who shop on Amazon.com in the U.S., Senior Vice President of Sales Eric Morse said out of Affirm. Now, the partnership sent Affirm stock flying over 45% on Monday and led Bank of America to call the deal an unambiguous positive for the company. The bank went on to note that the deal shines a light on the company's, quote, technological leadership and strong reputation in the buy now, pay later market while maintaining a buy call on the stock, according to CNBC. I completely agree with Bank of America on this one. I mean, this Amazon partnership for Affirm, I think, makes it a surefire buy in the BNPL market, buy now, pay later market. Now, shifting into some acquisitions that the company has made in some more recent headlines. Earlier in August, Affirm completed its third asset-backed securitization at a value of $500 million. Now, according to management, that securitization will provide the company with, quote, even greater flexibility to support our growth in 2021 and beyond, and market Affirm's, and actually, this securitization was the most efficient execution over at a firm year to date. So that's something to pay attention to there. Now, exploring past acquisitions, a firm closed their recent acquisition of Returnly on May 3rd in a cash and equity deal valued at $300 million. Returnly is a financial technology company that provides direct-to-consumer companies with proper technology to offer a quick and simple product return process. Now, management, they're very upbeat about this acquisition, saying, quote, "We have demonstrated how a firm can accelerate growth by helping merchants reach new customers and drive conversions. With Returnly, a firm addresses the full shopping journey by enabling seamless return experiences that drive loyalty and satisfaction," Levchin said. Now, rounding out acquisitions, a firm acquired PayBright for $340 million Canadian in December or mid-December. PayBright is Canada's leading buy now, pay later platform. According to management, the acquisition will increase the firm's North America footprint and accelerate the scaling process. Now, all of that was a lot to take care of, so let's simplify that. So they have had two very successful acquisitions that are going to boost growth since mid-December. They just completed their most efficient execution of a asset-backed securitization worth $500 million. And not only that, but they just reached a major partnership with Amazon here. All of that coming in the past few months. This company is making some very big moves. Now, shifting into the buy now, pay later market here, the BNPL market, Grandview Research predicts the global buy now, pay later industry will achieve a market value of $20.40 billion by 2028. That's a 22.4% CAGR throughout the next 7 years. That's a very quick and rapid growth for an industry. Now, furthermore, a firm continues to see increased competition. Taking a look at the U.S. mobile payment solutions and BNPL app downloads, a firm made up 78% of all buy now, pay later app downloads in Q4 of 2018. But jumping ahead to today, they made up just 16% in the latest quarter of Q1 of 2021. So a firm is seeing a lot of competition, but they are getting some of the biggest partnerships out there. And they are going about it in a very good and strategic manner. And that is why they are a buy now, pay later leader. Now, digging into the numbers, Affirm missed Q3 2021 expectations with an EPS of negative $1.06. That is lower than the analyst EPS consensus estimate of negative 29 cents. On a quarter-over-quarter basis, EPS declined significantly from the Q2 2021 level of negative 45 cents. Now, shifting in the revenues, this is where it gets impressive. Revenues, on the other hand, continue to expand with Q3 revenues totaling $230.7 million. That's up 67% year-over-year. Now, according to leadership, revenues were driven by increases in network revenue and interest income, but 67% year-over-year growth there in revenue for Q3 is very strong. That's a great number. I don't think there's any complaining about that number. Now, gross merchandise volume, GMV, which is also a very important metric for companies like Affirm, that also continued to grow. That increased by 83% year-over-year, the $2.3 billion. Now, excluding the recall of Peloton products, which is a big-time Affirm customer, Affirm noted that GMV expansion would have increased by 100% year-over-year. So very strong metrics coming out on the revenue and gross merchandise volume front for Affirm. Now, sifting through Affirm's user base, active merchants more than doubled throughout the quarter to a strong 12,000 merchants and counting, while active customers expanded by 60% to a sizable 5.4 million in Q3. While revenues, GMV, and customers continued to grow, Affirm unfortunately reported a sizable operating loss of $169.5 million. Now, the operating loss is significantly larger than the Q3 2020 level of $81.5 million and was attributed to IPO compensation costs, so maybe an inflated loss or operating loss here due to some IPO cost. But the numbers insofar, pretty solid for Affirm, two negatives EPS and that operating loss. Now, on the flip side, adjusted operating income totaled $4.9 million for the quarter. And for comparison, the Q3 2020 adjusted operating income was a loss of negative $7.7 million. So a big time improvement there in operating income. Now, net loss continued to deepen as well, with the Q3 2021 net loss totaling $247.2 million compared to the 2020 level of $85.6 million. The significantly larger loss was attributed to IPO and acquisition cost. Now, shifting into margins, operating margin worsened from a negative 58.9% to negative 73.5%, all the while adjusted operating margin improved from negative 51.1% to a better 2.1%. So a mix of positive and negative there. Operating margin worsening, adjusted operating margin improving. Not too bad. Now, management was upbeat about the quarter, even though it was a mixed bag of positives and negatives, mostly positives. Quote, firm's strong third quarter results reflect continued progress towards building the most valuable and transparent financial network for consumers and merchants, CEO Max Levchin said. A firm increased guidance as well, now expecting total gross merchandise volume to land within a range of $2.20 billion to $2.25 billion in Q4, and revenues are expected to land within a range of $215 to $225 million in the fourth quarter. Now, shifting into the full year guidance, leadership predicts full year 2021 gross merchandise volume will land within a range of $8.01 to $8.06 billion, and for revenue to land within a range of $824 million to $834 million. Big time improvements there if those targets are met. Now, shifting into the balance sheet, the numbers are quite solid. They only have $2 billion in debt. Total liabilities, $2.362 billion. Meanwhile, that total assets number is $4.766 billion and a cash and short-term investments level of $1.624 billion. So the balance sheet's pretty solid. Those assets, those total assets, cash and short-term investments far outweigh those total liabilities and debt, which is something you very much want to see. Shifting into evaluation in those metrics, it currently trades at 38.70 times price to sales, at least when last checked yesterday. The stock is up a bit today, so probably a bit higher than that, maybe like 38.71 times. And then the price to book currently sits at 9.67 times. Now, both of those are elevated, but you're paying up for future growth. And I think there's plenty of growth left in the tank here at a firm. Now, given the numbers, the analysts are bullish. They have a mean price target of $87.78 per share. Now, that does currently represent a 7.41% downside. But just a few weeks ago, you know, that would represent a massive gain. Now, the high price target, $128 a share, and the low price target, $55 a share. I think a firm pushes more towards the $120 per share price target, but we'll just have to see. Now, the big money is quite involved, with 83.01% of a firm, ticker symbol AFRM, being owned by institutions. Top holders include GIC Private Limited, Bailey Gifford & Co., and Lightspeed Venture Partners. Now, if you want a technical breakdown of a firm, go to runningwiththemoney.com. You'll get some technical metrics there under the analysis tab. Click on the article and scroll through that article. 100% completely free. You get all this information completely free, including a technical breakdown. Go check it out. Now, rotating into investor sentiment, the bears believe that a firm faces harsh competition with competitors including Square, Klarna, PayPal, and more. Meanwhile, on the flip side, the bulls believe a firm's leading technology, superior management team, and a bevy of partnerships will bolster strong growth for the years to come. Now, in short, firm ticker symbol AFRM is a solid pick to jump in on the buy now, pay later trend with expanding revenues and GMV, a solid customer base, reliable management team, solid balance sheet, and a multitude of successful partnerships. That is another episode of the Running with the Money podcast. Remember, hit me at Luke Donay on Twitter if you wish to ask any questions or want me to break down a particular stock. Also, go check out the website, runningwiththemoney.com. You'll get all this information 100% completely free and more. Thank you for listening for another episode of the Running with the Money podcast. My name is Luke Donay, your host, and I will see you again on Friday to talk the markets and everything about investments and the biggest headlines of the day as well. Probably another individual company. Easily profit, trade on. See you then.